Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. This is where we're going to start. In fact, today, sort of be ready because we're going to be flipping back and forth, and there'll be some places that will go back to Isaiah if you just want to be thinking about where Isaiah might be found in your Bible. I know where it's found in my Bible, but it might be different in yours. Sometimes they're hard to find, but we're going to be looking at different things. We're going to see the birth of our Savior. It's that time of the year. Christmas is almost here, as I said a while ago. It's about a week and a half away. This is the time of the year in which we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus coming into the world as a person. And we can enjoy the season. We don't want to forget why he came. And so this morning, as we remember the Christmas season, we're going to think about this. We're going to see the promise, the person, and the purpose dealing with our Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's so much there, and we'll see it. Well, you know, as we begin, you know, you think about this time of the year, or we think, of course, the great verse in the Bible, John 3:16, God so loved the world. I mean, think about it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Oftentimes when you think about it, you say, gave him. Gave him what? Gave him to come to the earth. Gave him to become a person. Gave him to die on the cross. You know, those kind of things. We realize this time of the year is we remember the fulfillment, where God sent his son into the world. And I want you to think about it, that the baby born in Bethlehem was indeed the Son of God, the Savior. John 3:16, God loved us. God sent his son so that whoever would believe would have eternal life. You know, there's a problem. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Ephesians 2 says we're dead in trespasses and sins and we need a Savior. But Ephesians says, but God, because he was rich in his mercy and grace, provided a Savior. And I want you to think about it. The story of Christmas is the story of God providing a Savior for the world. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became a human being so he could die for us, so he could provide the way of salvation. God became a person, the God-man, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. In Sunday school, we went through six names or titles of Jesus Christ at his birth. It was kind of fun to see all of that. Emmanuel was one of them, which means God with us. Jesus Christ is both God and man. This morning, we're going to look briefly at the incarnation, where God becomes flesh, so to speak. Jesus Christ becomes a human being. If you're in John 1, let me read for you John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. But look down at verse 14, and the Word became flesh. There's the birth. There's the birth of the Word of God. That's the birth of the eternal Son of God who becomes a human being. So this morning, I want us to do three things. We want to look at the promise. We're going to see the promise that God had made that he would intervene, because we've all sinned, and beginning from the very beginning, mankind needs a Savior, and God promised a Savior. The second thing is we'll look at the person, and we'll see how these promises, and we're going to look at actually six things, I believe, in your bulletin. You can see where you can write in there. We're going to look at those, and then we're going to show the fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ, and then we'll just end it by thinking about the purpose. Why did God do all of this? So let's start with the promise. Okay, and let's think about Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. You don't have to go back to Genesis 3, but remember that mankind was put in the garden, Adam and Eve, and they sinned and they fell. And right there, they were separated from God. But God came and made a promise. In Genesis chapter 3, he said the seed of woman would crush the head of the serpent. God actually said that one coming into the world, actually a seed of woman, one who was going to come, who was going to deal with the serpent, who was going to deal with Satan, going to deal with sin, and going to save mankind. In Genesis 3:15, we have the first promise of the Messiah and the Savior. And that was the one. As time went by, God gave more and more information. In fact, think about this. It was going to be the seed of woman. And then later God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, you're going to have descendants. There's going to be a seed come through you, which will be the Savior of the world, which all the world will be blessed through you, Abraham. That was the Messiah. And then God made the same promise to Abraham's son, Isaac, the exact same promise to his son, Jacob. And then the exact same promise to his son, Judah, to Jacob's son, Judah. And it said that your son will be the king and the Messiah. And then later on, he came to King David. We call it the son of David, the seed of David, that a Messiah would come through David. So God began to narrow down this promise, and he gives us more and more information. But what I want to do this morning for fun, and I want us to see this, is six things about the Savior of the world, six promises that he said he would do. And we're going to see six things about the Savior, the promises. We're going to have to go. So if you're ready, I'm going to ask you to turn to different places. And it would be more fun if you turn there. I know it's easy. Just say, I'll just leave my Bible right here. And I'll just listen. But I want you to turn to the verses because I want you to see some things there. So let's begin. And we're going to see some prophecies about the Messiah, these promises. And the first one is this, that he's going to be a man. That this Messiah coming into the world, this Savior, is going to be a man. I want you to turn to Isaiah. So flip back in your Bibles. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. If you can get to Song of Solomon, if you're almost to Isaiah. So Isaiah chapter 9, that's where we're going to start. So just take just a second. I'm going to give everybody just a little bit of time to get back there. Isaiah chapter 9. If you've got Proverbs, there's Psalms, Proverbs, and then after that is Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, and then you've got Isaiah. So Isaiah, and we're going to see a promise. The promise is the one that God is going to send into the world is going to be a person. He's going to be a man. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. Look at verse 6. For a child will be born to us. The child that is born is one from God, is a person, is a man. So this, we realize that this is going to be a descendant of David. It's going to be a descendant of Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Judah, to David, and on up. There's a Messiah coming who's going to be a human being. And he has to be a human being, because animals can't pay for mankind's sin. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 4 says the blood of bulls and goats can't take away man's sin. We've all sinned. God promises a Messiah and a Savior. There's going to have to be a human being come, a perfect human being. That's why he's God. Jesus Christ is God. That's why this child born unto us, a son will, unto us, a child will be born to us. This is the perfect Son of God. And this child is born. So we begin, and let me show you this little chart we're going to have. So right out there, a child is born. He's going to be a man. Let's look at our second thing, and just stay right there in the verse, and look what we see. The second thing, he's going to be God. Notice, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. Now, we talked about this in Sunday school, so I want you to listen carefully. The child, the son, the child being born is the man. The son being given is God. See, the son was never born. The son of God has always existed. He is eternal. He is the eternal son of God. And so the son was not born. The son of God has always existed. There has always been the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ did not become the son of God when he was born in Bethlehem. He has always been and always will be the son of God from all eternity, eternity past, eternity future. So when Isaiah says a child will be born to us, the child was born, that's the human being. The son will be given, that's the eternal Son of God given into this world. So what have we seen? We've seen the child will be born, that's a man. The son will be given, that's God. There's more. Look at the third thing. He will be the king. Notice again, Isaiah chapter 9. Look at verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son, that's the man, a son will be given to us, that's the Son of God. And notice, he's the king. And the government will rest on his shoulders. The government will rest on his shoulders. He is the king of the world. All the governments of the world will rest on this one. He is the ruler, the greater son of David. Look down at verse 7 of Isaiah 9. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom. This one that is going to come, the son that will be born, the man, the child that will be born, the man, the son that will be given, God, will be the king, will be the greater child, the greater son of David. So what have we seen? The child is born, the son is given, and the government is on his shoulders because he's the king. But there's more. And I want you to just flip back probably just a page or two in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 7. And it's a famous verse. Because if you think about this, God says, I'm going to send a child into this world. He will be my eternal Son of God. He will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But how are we going to know when he's coming? What are we going to be able to do? How are we going to be able to know? Well, he gives us a sign. And what we see is, be born of a virgin. Look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Here's the sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Listen, what's the sign? Is a sign a lady will have a baby? A lot of people have babies. The sign is not that a lady will have a baby. The sign is a virgin will have a baby. Not just any woman, but one who's not had relations. She will bring forth a child. She will bring forth Emmanuel, which is God with us. The virgin would have a son. So what have we seen? We've seen the child be born. That's the man. The son be given. That's God. We'll see the governor be on his shoulders. He'll be the king. We see the young girl, the virgin, will give birth. But there's more. And I want you to turn to the book of Micah. You go a little bit forward in your Bibles. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. When you find Jonah, then you'll find Micah, and go to Micah chapter 5. And I want you to see this. And what is amazing is everything fits. Everything fits. Micah chapter 5, this is a famous passage. In fact, this is the passage that when the wise men came, and they came and they said, we have come to find the king of the Jews, the one born king of the Jews. We saw his star. And Herod actually went to the priest and the Levites, and he said, where is this baby supposed to be born? And they went to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Look what it says. We're going to see that, number 5, that he will be born in Bethlehem. By the way, you know what Bethlehem means? Bethlehem means house. Lahem means bread. Bethlehem is the house of bread. And the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Look at Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, but as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah. See, there were two Bethlehems. There was a Bethlehem in the north and a Bethlehem in the south. The Bethlehem in the south was called Bethlehem Ephratah. So you remember what it is. He said, this is for you, Bethlehem, too little to be among the clans of Judah, for from you one will go forth who is the ruler in Israel. His goings forth from all eternity, from long ago, from days of eternity. So the next thing that we see is that he is going to be born in Bethlehem. By the way, Bethlehem is 8 miles from Jerusalem. Bethlehem is a little bitty town. We always talk about Bethlehem because we love it, and everybody says Bethlehem, and we think Bethlehem's big. Bethlehem's not even big now. At the time that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Bethlehem was a little bitty place. By the way, Nazareth was also a little bitty place. That's why when somebody said Jesus of Nazareth, they said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Listen, those towns weren't famous. They're only famous because Jesus was connected with them. And we think of Bethlehem. And so, the city of David, what do we see? The child that is born is the man. The son that is given is God. The government's on his shoulders. He's the king. The young girl will give birth. She's the virgin. And the city of David is Bethlehem. Now, I want you to notice something in this passage. So you notice that we've got he's a man and God and king and virgin and Bethlehem. Look at Micah 5, 2. But as you for you, Bethlehem, there's the city. From you will go forth for me the ruler, that's the king. His goings forth are from long ago, his days of eternity. That's that he's God. Even in this verse, it shows that he's a God, that he's person, that he's the king, that he's from Bethlehem. It's amazing. The ruler. There's one more. He is the Savior. He brings peace. Look at Micah chapter 5. Look at the beginning of verse 5. This one, talking about the Messiah, this one will be our peace. See, peace with God comes through Jesus Christ. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. The only way you can have peace is through the Savior. And so when he's called our peace, he's called the one who is the Savior. So let me show you what we have. We have the child that is born as man. We have the son that is given is God. We have the government is on his shoulders. He's the king. We have the young girl is going to give birth as the virgin. We say that it's going to be born in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, and he's going to be the one who brings the peace. He is the Savior. That's the promises. Now, there are all kind of promises. In fact, you can write down that they say there are over 300 prophecies dealing with Jesus Christ, both on his first coming and his second coming. All we've done this morning is look at six. That he's going to be a man. That he's going to be God. That he's going to be the king. That he's going to be born of the virgin. That he's going to be from Bethlehem, born in Bethlehem. And that he's going to be the Savior. So it's powerful. The man, God, king, born of a virgin in Bethlehem. That's pretty specific if we just only had these six. Now, let's see the fulfillment. Let's see the person. The one who matches, the one who God sent into the world, the one that in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son, born at just at the right time, born of a woman. Paul says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior. Let's see the birth of this person. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1. The verses that we read earlier, Luke chapter 1. Give everybody time to get there. And we'll see my favorite story. My favorite story from the Bible was Luke 1 and Luke 2. I have to tell you why while you're turning there. Most of you know I never went to church. I went to church once when I was 6 and once when I was 12. And so for me, I don't know anything about the Bible. But in my day and time, in school, we had a Christmas program at our school for the whole school. And we had the manger scene. We had the wise men. We had the shepherds. We had people reading the scripture. I remember my third grade teacher read to me Luke chapter 2. The first time I ever heard anything about the Bible came from my third grade teacher. And, of course, I was a shepherd. Some people got the parts of Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus, and then all the rest of us were shepherds and all the other stuff, right? So this is my favorite, because number one, in Luke 1, we see the promise to Mary. And in Luke 2, we see his birth. Now before we start, remember, he's a man, promise he's a man, and he's God, and he's the king, born of a virgin, in Bethlehem, who is the Savior. That's the promise. Let's see what happens. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. We always say 6 months. I remember reading that and hearing that read. I never even questioned, what do you mean 6 months? 6 months of what? It was the 6 month of Elizabeth, her cousin's pregnancy. Elizabeth produced John the Baptist. You understand John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus, and they were relatives. So in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. To a what? A virgin. Engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So we begin in Luke 1, 26, 27. We see this is the one promised in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Before we go further, look what it says in verse 30. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." This is the promised one. This is the one that Isaiah said a virgin would have a child, and here we see a virgin. So the first thing I want you to notice is this. Look at the chart. Number four, there's number four. Is this person, Jesus Christ, going to fit these promises? There's the first one. Matches. Let's look a little further at the passage. Look what it says in verse 30. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you shall bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." Notice, you shall bear a son. Guess what that means? She's going to have a child. She's going to have a son. She's going to have a little boy. She's going to have a child. How does this fit our chart? There's the man, the boy. Unto us a child is born. There he is. But there's more. Look what the verse says. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you shall name him what? Jesus. What does the name Jesus mean? Anybody know? We talked about it in Sunday school. What does it mean? Savior. Savior. He will be called Jesus. The name means Savior, the promised one of God. How does that match? He's the Savior. So far, so good. Let's hope it's Jesus, right? Okay. So what are we going to see next? Notice, and you shall conceive in your womb, and you shall bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called what? The Son of the Most High. He is called the Son of God. He will be the Son of the Most High. He'll be the Son of God. How does that match our chart? He's God. So far, so good. He's man. He's God. He's born of the Virgin. He's the Savior. We're not through. He shall be called, verse 32, he shall be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And notice the next part of the verse. And the Lord God will give him, what? The throne of his father David. He's going to be a king. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. He's going to be the king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The king who takes David's throne. The king to which the promise was made. And notice, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall have no end. And notice what she said to the angel. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I am a what? A virgin. What have we seen? Look at the chart. Man, God, King, born of a virgin, the Savior. Everything matches but one. Where are they living? Where did this angel come to Mary? Nazareth. Oh, no. Stay on the chart. Stay on the chart for a second. He's got to be born where? In Bethlehem. All we need is the city of Bethlehem, but they don't live in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem's not even close. Nazareth is in the northern part of Israel by the Sea of Galilee. And Bethlehem is down south, south of Jerusalem, 8 miles south of Jerusalem. It's a long way. What's going to happen? Look at Luke chapter 2. Now in those days, Luke chapter 2 verse 1. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. What's going to happen? Well, see, Caesar Augustus decides that he needs to make sure he knows who all the people are so he can tax them. And it's